I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Late last week, the Supreme Court agreed to hear a case having to do with schools, transgenderism, and bathrooms, public bathrooms. It seems like that issue hasn't been around that long, at least in a legal sense. Joining us to talk about the Supreme Court agreeing to hear this transgender bathroom case, Gary McCaleb, he's senior counsel and vice president of advocacy research for Alliance Defending Freedom, based in Washington, D.C. Gary, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good day.
Is it unusual for the Supreme Court to hear a case that, at least from my perspective, seems like a relatively new legal issue?
Well, Todd, that question should tell your listeners you're a Supreme Court watcher, because it is usually unusual if they take a case that has a fairly new issue. One of the factors in the background here is actually there's two issues they're looking at. The question of whether sex means gender identity now under Title IX. But the other issue is actually an old issue. It's been kicked around the court a fair while, and that's something called Auer deference, named after a case called Auer v. Robbins. And that asks the question as to whether the federal judges need to defer to an agency interpretation of the law, basically let the bureaucrat write the law and the federal court just sit back and accept that. That's an older issue, and it's actually the lead issue in this case, so I suspect that's why they're taking that case now.
So let's talk about what led to this. Where have we been that brings this issue to, those are the issues you've laid out there, but where has it been so far in the courts that brings it to the attention of the Supreme Court?
Well, it's come up through the court system, began in district court in Virginia when a young lady claiming to be male sought access to the restrooms in her public school. District court, in a good decision, ruled that access to the restrooms is governed by your birth sex and not by your self-perception, and went our way on the case. It went up to the Fourth Circuit, and that's who introduced this question of deference, and the Fourth Circuit went the wrong way, which led to the petition to the Supreme Court and the grant just last Friday, I believe.
And given the current complexion of the court and missing one justice, making it an even number of justices here, what do you anticipate the court is going to decide about this?
Well, if I knew I was anticipating accurately, I could be the most highly paid lawyer on the face of the earth, probably. So I'll speculate a little bit here. I think they are probably going to go the right way on this deference issue. The administrative agencies have really developed far too much power. It undercuts the idea of representative government. It's an issue that has come up in many areas of the law, not just a somewhat unusual idea that you can change your sex by self-perception. So it's been kicking around. I think the courts are kind of tired of deferring to bureaucrats, and I suspect they'll go the right way on that. On the other issue, and you alluded to this with the first question, this is only a feeling, but I suspect they might just send it back down for reconsideration after telling the Fourth Circuit that it was wrong on the deference issue. On the other hand, there's very good history and I think very clear language in the federal law that when they protected sex under Title IX, that was to protect equal access for men and women to educational programs. And it's pretty clear that that's male and female and not a psychological construct of gender. So they could go ahead and just settle both issues and come out our way on this case.
If they were to decide in favor of the Obama administration and would say it's all right for the administration to require public school systems to let transgender students use bathrooms that align with their gender identity. If they were to do that, what would that mean? Paint a picture for us.
Well, it's a very problematic thing, and it's the reason we filed not one, not two, but three lawsuits on this issue now. That violates the privacy and dignity of really all students in school, because with these young children, they're still biologically male or female. They're in the opposite sex's bathroom, and that's a privacy violation right there. So you can say that the sex has changed and pretend it is, but it hasn't. And it does violate privacy when you've got, like we have in our cases, adolescent girls in a locker room with a young man in there at the same time they're changing. So if they went that way inside of the Obama administration, we would continue litigating our cases, because the case in Virginia actually doesn't have a direct claim of a privacy violation, while we have brought that claim in our cases. So you'd see another round of litigation and probably another case coming up to the Supreme Court in a year or so.
Why do you think the Obama administration wants to push for transgender access in public schools?
Well, I think this is part of a larger agenda. It grows directly out of the same-sex marriage battle, and it seems to be the progressive mindset, and this is rooted more in kind of the religious end of things and not the legal end, but the mindset seems to be we can be our own gods. We are going to determine what sex we are. We're going to determine what marriage is. So there's a philosophy that lies behind it. But I think pragmatically, what we see the left driving for is a personal autonomy at the expense of almost everyone else and having the state enforce that. So it's a left-wing agenda. It's part of a much larger agenda. And there's not a lot of logic to it. When you hear one of our opposing attorneys saying that you can't characterize any part of the human body as male or female, that's not law, that's not reason, that's not logic. That's a pure agenda that's rooted in some very different notions of what society should look like.
Do you think that the court currently comprise understand the consequences of this, but also will be willing to listen to experts on all sides, including research recently published that highlights the fact that, especially with young people, their self-identified gender, when they are identifying as something other than their biological sex, that's not a permanent condition very often. In other words, research has found out they often outgrow that. Do you think they'll hear that?
That's right, Todd. They will hear it because we're getting it into our cases. We will certainly be engaged in the friend of court or amicus briefing in the Gloucester case, the one that's going up to the Supreme Court. And I think even with this court and with eight justices, the basic rule should hold true that if you're going to radically rewrite a federal law, that's a job for Congress. Let the people go and lobby, let them make their desires known. Federal judges are supposed to interpret the law, not rewrite the law. And it's pretty clear in this case that this gender identity theory completely disconnects the law from the familiar objective categories of male and female and creates a very different thing, a subjective, fluid stream of different genders. So that's rewriting the law. And I think I would certainly hope that the existing Supreme Court says no. If you want to rewrite it, go to Congress. We're not going to do that. We're going to affirm the law as it's written.
If, as you mentioned before, they decide to kind of separate the issues and send it back to the Fourth Circuit, what do you think the Fourth Circuit is likely to do with it?
I would hope that they come down and see more clearly exactly how clear Title IX is when it talks about sex and male and female. One of the interesting things about litigating in this area is the way the arguments have changed in a very short time. The other interesting thing is what you just mentioned. The science is coming in on our side, and there's very good science showing that if a child is confused in that way at a young age, they will realign so that, as the opposition would put it, sex and gender are aligned. It eliminates this disconnection between what they think they are and what they are. So So you've got ethical issues. Is it really ethical to stop that normal process, which is the current treatment they offer? So we've got science coming in on our side. We've got very good arguments coming in saying this is what Congress meant. And I would anticipate, I would hope that the Fourth Circuit would come out and say, you know, kind of the same thing I just said, if they're going to rewrite the law, let Congress do it. We're not going to do it as federal judges.
Gary McCaleb is Senior Counsel and Vice President of Advocacy Research for Alliance Defending Freedom based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to Alliance Defending Freedom at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break on this Monday afternoon, October the 31st, it's time for our regular weekly Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We are going to be looking at the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, a very familiar story. The details are well known. We'll go back through them. Of course, it's not just about David or Goliath or even the other characters who appear there. There is Christ in this story, and we'll find out how after this. Are you looking for Christmas cards that combine beautiful art with a clear Christian confession? Emmanuel Press offers Christ-centered, affordable cards in a variety of designs. You'll find cards with stained glass, illumination, German frescoes, and other unique artwork found only at Emmanuel Press. Visit their website, emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.